Welcome to Renewal. In just a moment, you'll once again meet our special guest. But first, let me just set the stage for our program today. Susan's older brother took his own life when she was just 10 years old. Her parents shut the door to his room and never talked about it again. Neither did Susan. Both parents became alcoholics. Well, Susan's dad eventually moved out and she had to care for her alcoholic mother until she was 18 years old. That's 8 painful years. Then her mother died, drinking herself to death. But Susan felt she had caused her mother's death, and wrongly so. Today, you'll understand why, as our host and teacher, Dr. Jean Getz, continues to unfold this tragic story, one that ultimately leads to redemption. Here's Jean.
Well, thank you very much, Alan, and my special guest is Susan Washington. And Susan, welcome back to Renewal.
Thank you.
We are unfolding a story, painful story, and of course, we have to tell our listeners, of course, that there is a good ending to this story, but there's a lot of painful things that are going to happen before you actually get to that point where you met Jesus Christ personally and he came into your life and things changed. Let me just set the stage. You had a horrible experience when your brother committed suicide. You were down at the lake. You got the word. You're just getting ready to water ski and you drove home with your parents. It was silence all the way. And basically, after his funeral or even before, nobody talked about it. You weren't allowed to talk about it. Closed the door to his room. Silence. But you had to go on with life. So you went on to school. You did quite well. Talk about your junior high years. I mean, you became a cheerleader.
School was nice for me. I felt accepted there and well-liked, and so it was a good place. When I was in junior high, I was elected cheerleader, and that was a lot of fun.
It was an escape, really.
Right, yes.
Because your parents aren't handling this well.
Right. And that's when I noticed something was wrong with my mom. Like, she wouldn't pick me up. My school was far from my home, and she wouldn't pick me up, and when I would get a ride home, I would find her asleep, and I just wasn't sure what was going on.
And of course, at that point, they were becoming really serious alcoholics.
Yes.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah, one thing you shared as you wrote up some of this material is that she got to the place where she would drink anything that had alcohol in it.
When I got to high school and started driving, my dad moved to our lake house. And one day I came home from school and my mother was passed out on the floor and there were perfume bottles all around her. And when I bent down to see if she was okay, I could tell she had drank all the perfume. One time it was rubbing alcohol, one time it was NyQuil. It just got to the point with her that the first thing I did when I got home was make sure she was alive.
And you had to then take her through detox, take her to the hospital. And how old are you now?
Well, I was like 16 or 17 at that time. And it was just me and Mama at home. And if she would completely run out of alcohol, she would go through the DTs. And
you had to walk
scary.
Her through that a lot
of
times.
I had to get her in the car, shaking, hallucinating that spiders were attacking her, and get her to the hospital.
Now, your dad's not there at this point.
No.
You're handling this whole thing all by yourself. Mm-hmm. You're going to school and pretending to be happy, losing yourself in your success, really, your popularity at high school then. Because this goes over a process of time from your junior high years right on into high school.
Right.
And nobody knows.
No.
And you haven't talked to anybody.
No. You know, I was so scared it was my fault. I just thought if I performed, maybe if I would do really good, they would quit and pay attention to me.
But things deteriorated and you're moving towards graduation from high school. Things are still getting progressively worse. And then the reality of this hit you because here you are, you're graduating. You knew your mom wouldn't be there because she was passed out when you left the house.
Right, right.
But you hoped that your dad would be there.
Yeah. Well, I went to a very large high school, so there were like many graduates. It was a very long ceremony, and I remember when we were done, me and my friends went out in the hall. It was the Dallas Convention Center then, and I just remember them meeting up with their parents, hugging, taking pictures, and I just kept walking, looking for my dad. I'm hoping he would be there, and he wasn't. And I was hurt, and by this point, I was angry.
And you didn't even go home that night, I don't think.
No, I went to some parties that night, graduation parties, and the next day, which was a Sunday, I went water skiing with my boyfriend, and I got home Sunday night.
Now, something happened. There were two things that happened that were devastating before your graduation.
Right.
You came home, and there was a serious problem with your mom.
Right. The day of the Red and Blue game, it was my last time to ever cheer, and she caught our house on fire. And a friend of mine had gone by our house to get something and found her naked in the front room, passed out, and the house on fire. And she went to call the fire department and my father, and by that point, my mother had wandered back into the house. When I arrived home later, I was embarrassed because now the neighbors
knew. Now everybody
knew.
Knows.
Yeah, and my friend, she was my best friend, but still she didn't know how bad it was. And I just remember going, my mother was back in her room, the mattress was gone, it was just a bed frame and a headboard, and she was trying to make a bed as if there was a mattress there. And then she would trip on the frame and get back up and try again. And I just remember watching her in bitterness and contempt. I was getting so angry, but then I got really worried because she would trip and fall that she was going to hurt herself. So I kind of gathered her up and I took her into my old childhood room and I just tucked her into bed. And so she stayed in my childhood room for the rest of her life, which was just a week or so.
Yes. And of course, then there's the graduation. She's
right.
Not there. Dad's not there. You go out, you're angry, you're hurt, you mm-hmm. come home. And then you had an incredibly traumatic experience because she was drunk and again, and you said something that haunted you the rest of your life, really, or until you were able to deal with that memory.
When I got home, she had staggered to my room, and I just hated her. And I just said, "You get out of my room. I hate you, and I wish you were dead." And I slammed the door. And then when I woke up the next morning, she was dead.
Whoa, she was dead. Did you tell anybody about that?
I had a thought saying, never share that because they're going to think you killed her. I thought I killed her.
Well, the guilt and shame, of course, was overwhelming. You stuffed that along with everything else. You never shared your pain. You never shared your burdens. But there is a time you're going to, but it's going to be quite a while, and still there's some real painful things ahead. In fact, a couple more suicides, and it's just hard to believe that any human being could go through what you were going through and survive. But you did, and you're sitting here today by the grace of God. You know the Lord Jesus, and you're free.
Yes.
And you're able to talk about
right.
it. And you're able to cry and smile at the same time.
I'm free in every sense of the word.
Well, my special guest here on Manual, Susan Washington, and of course she'll be back with us again tomorrow to continue to unfold this story. I'm Gene Getz, your host and teacher here on Renewal, and as I reflect on Susan's story, my mind couldn't help but go back to a proverb where in my new Life Essential Study Bible, I've inserted a principle right in the midst of a paragraph from the Proverbs. It has to do with addictions. I've called it addictive behaviors, and of course we've seen this illustrated in the devastation that it brings in the life of both the father and the mother of Susan in terms of their addiction to alcohol and to drugs. But here's the principle. To reflect Christian maturity, we must not be addicted to anything that interferes with clear thinking and godly living. As you know, addictions have taken the lives of some of our most significant entertainers over the last number of years, and it relates back to drugs and alcohol. But here is one that deals with alcohol addiction in terms of the Proverbs. And we read this, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has conflicts? Who has complaints? Who has wounds for no reason? Who has red eyes? Those who linger over wine, those who go looking for mixed wine. Don't gaze at wine because it is red, when it gleams in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and you will say absurd things. You'll be like someone sleeping out at sea or lying down on the top of a ship's mast. They struck me, but I feel no pain. They beat me, but I didn't know it. When I wake up, I look for another drink. Well, this paragraph here in Proverbs warns against intoxication and addiction more vividly than any other passage of Scripture. What could be more descriptive than seeing strange things, saying absurd things, and then waking up from a drunken stupor and looking for another drink? And tragically, this happened to Susan's parents. You know, Paul often warned believers of this kind of inebriation, this kind of drinking, this kind of addiction. He exhorted the Ephesians. He said, "And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit." Sadly, the reckless actions of these two parents, these two grieving parents, when they turned to alcohol, led to reckless actions that, as we've seen, impacted Susan, impacted her whole family. And what a tragedy that is. And I guess the message that comes to all of us, and that is that when we face tragedies, and certainly they face tragedies, but they turned to alcohol to medicate their pain. God wants to extend grace in our lives. He wants to be there for us. And so today, if you're struggling with some of those issues, seek help. You can't resolve this problem by yourself. Acknowledge that you have a problem. Don't deceive yourself. One of the things that goes along with alcoholism and drug addiction is lying, lying to yourself and lying to other people. Reach out to someone who can help you to get control of this evil influence in your life. God loves you. He doesn't want you to walk down that path and experience that kind of devastation. And He certainly doesn't want it to impact your own children. Our story this week shows that impact. But you'll want to stay with us because there is hope and light at the end of this very, very dark tunnel.
We invite you to check out Gene's new Life Essentials Bible, which contains 1,500 principles to live by, from Genesis to Revelation. This new Bible is the first ever multimedia study Bible, which utilizes QR codes to access 1,500 videos of Gene teaching these principles. You can learn more about this Bible by going to our website at renewalradio.org. That's renewalradio.org. Or you can write to us at Renewal, 241 Legacy Drive, Plano, Texas, 75023. Again, that's Renewal, 241 Legacy Drive, Plano, Texas, 75023. Our phone number is 1-800-RENEWAL. That's toll-free, 1-800-RENEWAL. Remember, too, that you can take us with you via our daily podcast. Just go to renewalradio.org and click on Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And please join us again tomorrow, right here on Renewal.